shit, it's that motherfucking time again. The church of what's happening now. Uncle Joey, we're in the afternoons today because Lee had to drive the old man. They went to breakfast, but it don't fucking matter. The church is still here in full effect, bitches. Little Black Sabbath, Children of the Great. Blast that motherfucker, Lee. What? Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit, motherfuckers. I love it. Wednesday, February 20th. It's a beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. You're a little cold, but who gives a fuck? You're alive, cocksucker. Myself, Joey Diaz, and my main man, the baddest motherfucking... Look at him. The flying fucking Jew. Give him, show him the muscles.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay. Shit. What the fuck is going on? Great to have you guys coming into our world. 4 o'clock. What is it? 3 o'clock show. Yeah. 6 o'clock on the East Coast. Half of you are sitting down to eat chicken cutlets with mashed potatoes and cream corn. Fuck it. I interrupted that shit. That's my favorite East Coast meal.
What is it, mashed potatoes?
Chicken cutlets sliced thin like a motherfucker. Yeah. Breaded. Double breaded.
I love that.
Flour and fucking Italian breadcrumbs. Bang that motherfucker out with some mashed potatoes. A little cream corn with some jalapenos in that motherfucker.
Cream corn?
Yeah, cream corn.
I like regular corn.
But listen, we're ultraviolet. You know, we're just fucking... If you show up with the good corn, if you show up with regular corn, we think I'm going to throw you out or stab you in the neck. Fuck no, you're still going to sit and hang. A little cranberry juice with some club salt in it. That's called living like a fucking doctor, Lee Syatt. What the fuck you think you're dealing with? What's going on, baby?
Nothing. It was fun having my dad here, and as you know, I got way too high.
We fucked them up. Thanks to you to my people. Bang chocolate with your little bite, 180 milligrams. Listen, we cut it up three ways, and I took like 60 milligrams, and I chopped the other 60 between the other.
No, you gave us. Stop,
stop. I must have eaten 80. No. Yes. You guys got 30 apiece or something like that.
If you got 80, that means you got 50 apiece.
Who got 50 apiece?
If it's 180 and you got 80, that means we each got 50.
50. So that's a half of what I got.
No, fucking. When I left here,
your dad was trembling.
Yeah.
He was trembling when he hugged me. You were just giggling and smiling, and then we're going to go to the track, and I had something to do, and I couldn't get out of it. And I go, let me call Lee. Lee was fucking, hi. How you doing? And he wouldn't talk to me, so I knew something was going on. It was very vague, like, what's going on over there? Nothing. What are you guys doing sitting here watching TV?
Yeah.
And then later was when he broke down. He's like, I fucking puked. I got sick.
I didn't puke until after that. So the
house was spinning and shit.
I just made it to the couch. And for whatever reason, when I do edibles, I can like feel, like I feel like the blood. I feel like mucus in my throat or whatever. And I was sitting on my couch and I was thirsty. And I took a sip of water. And I had eaten at that point, but I didn't eat before we smoked. And I don't know, for whatever reason, as soon as the water hit my stomach, I was like, this is bad. And I started dry heaving a little bit. I was in my nice new couch. I was like, shit, I can't puke on this shit. And I went, ugh! And I did again. And then I was able to stand up. And of course, like, my entire body was fucking trembling. And I made it into the kitchen, which is linoleum or whatever, finally.
You puked on the linoleum?
I puked right on the floor. I was like,
did you clean it up?
What
color was the water? Tell these people.
The water was green, and the only thing that was in it was little black chunks, which is the un...
We don't fuck around here, people. You want to run with Mad Flavor? These people will tweet. That's my life, to hang out with Mad Flavor. I'm telling you, I'll fucking bury you with an edible. Done. Ugh. These poor guys were done. When I talked to them at 6, I thought you guys died here. Like fucking...
Like
the cop Donna. I thought you guys just shot each other. He said, fuck it. Those things are strong, brother. Ugh. I love it. I love a good edible. Like, sometimes I eat an edible and go to kickboxing, and the adrenaline kicks into the fucking edible, and I go deaf. I mean, I go fucking deaf. I'm throwing sidekicks. I can't hear the fucking time music with the snakes and the fucking... all that shit.
You're just doing sidekicks
fucked up, but I love it. I love seeing the fucking devil. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Catholic who loves seeing the devil. Sometimes you gotta see the devil just to make sure everything's all right. You follow me?
Yeah,
Did you see the devil? Did he show up and finger banging the little fucking muffler?
Probably when I was puking, but I told my dad because we had plans to go to dinner for his birthday, and I told him before he came, I'm like, Joey wants to get you high, maybe we should go out on Sunday to the place. He's like, no, I want to go. I'm like, these fucking edibles, and like 20 minutes before we were supposed to leave, I was like finally able to, like, if I had tried to drive before that, I probably would have.
How old was he the other day?
He turned 60.
You're a good man. You got him up here. You know, he's down in Florida where fucking suicide was invented. And you got him up here, and you had a couple of days with him. Thank you. You're a good fucking
son. No, yeah, we had a good time.
You're good. And he had a good time. We got him fucked up. We took some pictures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
You got to take care of your parents. You know, when I talk to my friends, and, you know, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and I said, if you didn't, the chick I was married to years ago, she had a really nice family. I mean, they were very white, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were very white. They were in the Army and the fucking Air Force and shit. But the family was very nice, and the kids always had beef with one another. And if they didn't have beef, like the three boys didn't talk to one another, you know what? I don't want to hang out with a family that don't talk to one another. Like, when three brothers don't talk to one another, what do I want to hang out with those mutts for? You know what I'm saying? Three girls. The girls were always at war with each other.
Oh, that always happens. Like, sisters,
yeah. Yeah, but they didn't talk. They didn't talk for years at a time over dumb shit with the family. You know, I can't deal with that. Like, I told my wife, I go, if you weren't as close as you were with your family, I wouldn't have married you. I don't like that shit.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like that shit. You know, how the fuck are you going to... Listen, not everybody's going to like each other. God ain't going to put two brothers to definitely... And there's going to be disagreements. But you ever meet those creepy fucking families and people are going to know what I'm talking about. That, like, you ask them, hey, you talk to your brother? I haven't talked to my brother in 6 months. How the fuck do you walk around and exist? How the fuck do you walk around and not check up with the people that you grew up under the same fucking house with? All right, maybe you don't like the guy, maybe, whatever, but at least call his fucking wife, call one of his kids. You know, you got a nephew. Hey, how's the old man doing? He's still stubborn. Hey, I brought your name up at dinner. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When I lived in Boulder, I hung out with this kid, Danny, that was a great neon guy, and he worked with this guy. He had a partner, and the one day the partner went up to him and said, you know what, man? Can I ask you a personal question? How come Joey comes over here every day to see you? Do you sell drugs? And he's like, no, I'm a fucking... He goes, that's amazing that you have friends that see you every day and stop. You know, he had a shop and his area was wide open. So I would just pull up, go in, get him. We'd smoke a joint in the car and then he'd go back in. We'd talk about what he was going to do for dinner.
Yeah.
He's my Goomba. That's what you do with your fucking Goombas. He fucking told the guy, he goes, you know what? Me and my brother aren't even that tight how you guys are. And Danny told me that night. He goes, that fucking mutt. You know, it's true. I don't want to hang out with that shit. And I appreciate people. Like yesterday I went to the doctor, and there was a black chick there, and she brought her mother to the doctor. She said she moved the mother out here from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You know how fucking hard that is to have your mother moving out? That's like a permanent fucking cock block. You know, there's so many fucking disadvantages. Of, you know, when you get to be a man and your mother moves in, and you know, let's say you have a wife and kids. Yeah, they help out with the babysitting and shit, but they give you fucking tremendous ear beatings.
Oh, yeah.
Just the time you took to have your mother. But I don't have a mother. I don't have a fucking mother. So I'm talking to you like, if I had a mother, I know that she'd be living with me right now. I know that I'd be feeding her and putting up with her shit, driving her to bingo and listening to fuck. I have a buddy who you met, Lubes. Lubes, a stutterer. Yeah. Fucking Lubes is 49 years old. He still lives at home with his mother. I would die to be able to do that. I tell people all the time, move home. Cut this shit out, moving out. You ain't proving nothing. Unless you're getting your dick sucked. If you're getting your dick sucked that much in your new house, like let's say you live on your own and you fucking chicks are fucking guys 8 days a week, they're still going to suck your pussy in the car in front of your mother's house. Move in to your fucking mother. Move in, eat that home cooking. You live in the back, you get that old small bed back, your feet hang off and shit like
that. I like seeing my mom's coming in April, but I couldn't. I couldn't
live with her now?
No, I don't think so.
I could live if they lived on a different floor. See, if they lived on a different floor, they had their own floor.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be good. If they're right fucking next to you, I could see what mom's gonna, you know, they're see, fucking pain in the ass.
You could pull it off. Most guys, like, girls are like, that's like starting to be the main thing, girls. Like, they don't want people who live at home still. I mean, you could pull it off. You're just like, fuck you. Fuck you, I live at home. You know, like,
listen, man, you gotta be happy on your own.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend that's dating a guy that lives with his mother, and she doesn't. He's like, he's a grown man. He doesn't even know I exist. I've never met the parents. He thinks that if he has a girlfriend, the parents, it would kill the parents. Get rid of that fucking guy. Or the guy's giving you a great story, like, I can't come over because my parents would die if they met you.
There's a difference when you're taken care of and when you're being taken care of.
Right. There's a big fucking difference. But you know what? They took care of us.
Yeah.
So now you got to take care of them. You know what, man? My uncle's a fucking pain in the ass. I love my uncle. The first 35 minutes of when I'm with my uncle, my mother's brother, he's great.
Yeah.
Then after that, he starts talking about Cuba and how my mother was a whore. You know, she had a boyfriend when she was 18, so she was a whore. You know, I mean, you don't want to hear that shit.
Jesus.
So after, like, I mean, he doesn't say it all the time. It's always something about the family.
Okay.
The cousins, the nephew. You know, he always goes off on somebody, you know. And he was telling me one day how when they were young, the three girls, you know, he would never allow it. But that my grandfather let the three girls have boyfriends when they were 17, and he knew what was going on in the living room. What the fuck is wrong with you? You're going to bring it up to me now, 80 years later. She's been dead for fucking 40 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I understand what it's like to have the family on top of you. Like, you do want to fucking stab them after a while, but if you keep them to a distance, like Terry, my wife, I tell her all the time, I'd love to move back to Tennessee with her. But my wife will tell you, she will not move back to that same fucking town as her family.
Oh, really?
No, 2 hours away. She wants them close enough, but not
yeah.
right there where they could just drop in and give you fucking ear beatings about who's running for president and the economy and guns and how the West, you know, you don't need that aggravation.
In your yeah. life.
Well, I don't feel no fucking different being 50 years old, if that's what you're going to ask.
Nothing at all?
No, who gives a fuck?
What did you end up doing anything, or you just hung out?
I'm a dick. First off, let me tell you how I started the day on my 50th fucking birthday. I went to the doctor to draw blood.
Yeah.
All right, and on the drive there, I said, you know what? I've been getting a lot of fucking needles lately. When the fuck am I going to pass out? So I get to the thing, and right away, whenever I go to the doctor's office for a blood test,
yeah.
if they see me real quick, it's no drama. But once I have to sit there for 10 or 15 minutes, I start thinking. So they didn't have my blood ordered. So they had to call the doctor and get the blood ordered. Then when it came back, I had to sign everything, give them my credit card, the whole fucking thing. Then I waited for 10 minutes. Then I went in. Now, I got a little bit high. You never go fucking, if you don't like needles and shit like that, don't go to the doctor high. Me, I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm used to it. So I always want to walk on a tightrope. So I just took a couple hits off the fucking number, and I went to the doctor. Right away, when she put the needle in, I felt it,
yeah.
which I never fucking feel it. I felt it, and it fucked with my head. And since it was two different blood orders, they wanted to check something for an allergy. It was a longer needle. Like, they had to switch needles and shit. Jesus fucking Christ. I went to get up in that room, spun one time. I lost all the color in my fucking face. They had to put a bag of ice in my head and one on my neck like I got beat up by Anderson Silva. It was fucking amazing. I got up. It took me like 30. I left to go get blood at 10 to 9. I got home like 10:35.
Yeah, you called me like at 10:30 like I just woke up, man.
Oh, it was fucking crazy. I fainted for a little while.
That's what you get for me throwing up.
Oh, cocksucker. And then we were going to do a couple things. We were either going to go to like... our main thing, we were going to go eat at, like, Lowry's, or like a Lowry Steakhouse in Burbank, the one we always go to. And I'm like, you know what, man? Just because it's an expensive thing, it don't mean it's going to be good. We were going to go to this Mexican joint that has paella. Mm-hmm. We got there, and it didn't open until 12. I hate eating with the lunchtime crowd. I either want to get there before, so as they're getting there, I'm getting the fuck out, or I get there at 1.
Yeah.
I don't like eating at 12, especially when I eat out, because then you compete with a bunch of fucking mooks online, talking about stupid shit and they gotta get back or whatever.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, Lee? What's on the screen that you're fucking looking at? What is it?
Nothing.
You're looking at fucking something, cocksucker.
I'm just waiting for the phone call, that's all.
Oh, why are you waiting for a phone call? Who's calling?
At its worst.
Who's calling?
Nothing.
Oh, you're waiting for a phone.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the phone call.
I didn't know. I thought you were looking at some porno on there the other day. I caught you looking at porno doing a little fucking Jew jack under the table, you dirty cocksucker.
Oh, God.
What are we talking about here?
You're talking about your birthday.
Oh, so then we're going to go eat. We went to this Mexican joint, nothing. We were going to go to a place in Hollywood that has nice spaghetti with the sauce and the fucking ricotta cheese, the whole thing.
Oh, nice.
We were like, we want to drive all the way to Hollywood. Remember, we were spitting yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't know what the fuck it was going to do, which is the worst thing. And we ended up going to P.F. Chang's in Burbank.
Oh.
I got the ribs. I got the pork fried rice. And we got a soup, and we split everything down the middle. And
that was it.
And then I went home, and the weirdest fucking thing happened. Out of all the fucking people in the world, I got a call from Damon Zwicker. Brother Damon.
Yeah.
He goes, what are you doing? I go, nothing. I go, you're not working? He goes, no. Are you going to be home for a couple minutes? I go, yeah. He goes, I'm coming over with the baby. You know, he has a son that's 14 months old. For you guys who don't know Damon Zwicker, he was the camera guy on all the Joey Karate's. Good friend of mine. He fucking shows up with a Carvel ice cream cake. So me, my wife, his son, the baby, and the cats sat around. We sang happy birthday. We had a piece of Carvel cake, and that was it. That was my birthday.
Nice.
I went to kickboxing at 8 o'clock, and then I went into the spot at the Ha Ha Cafe. That was it. But it was a great fucking birthday because I spent it with this little fucking girl and my wife. I never had that before. That was the first time I spent a birthday with a family since 1979.
Wow.
And you know, all the birthdays, like I said in the documentary when we did it, that when somebody close to you dies, a parent or a grandparent, you know, you live, you make it through life, but it always tastes like, it's like eating food with no salt on it.
Yeah.
You know, the life isn't the same without somebody. Like, my mom died when I was 16, so the birthdays were never the same. The other day, I was thinking about it when I went to get the bagels and shit, how this is going to be the first birthday I was going to have with family. So it was very fucking cool. That was what the cool
thing. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Listen, man, I've done it all on my birthday. I've done it. Fuck. I remember one time on my 17th birthday, I went down to this 22nd Street, this bar across the street from the cemetery. It's still there, not a cemetery, a funeral parlor in Union City. It's the county morgue.
Okay.
It's Veneri, my buddy that has a funeral parlor. It's his competition. You can't even mention Liebe Schlum around those motherfuckers. But that same bar that we had a fight in high school, we used to go there. We were 16, 17, 15, and cop THC Crystal. It was in Union City, New Jersey.
Okay.
And this one birthday, I got a call to go down there, like, let's go get some THC Crystal. So I got in the car with these dudes. I don't remember who it was, but I went down to 22nd Street, and I did, like, usually you took a $10 bag of THC Crystal, which, kids, it's fucking horse tranquilizer in those days. It was like whatever the fuck they call that, angel dust.
Oh,
but
shit.
You snorted it. But you could take a $10 bag and split it three fucking ways.
Okay.
So this one night I went out and split it two ways. Me and some other guy, and I went home, and The Exorcist was on regular television. It was like on an off channel, like in New York, you got ABC, NBC, and CBS. Yeah. No Fox in those days.
Oh, okay.
But you had WOR, which has the Yankees.
Okay.
And you have WPIX, whatever. One of them has the Yankees. One WOR has the Mets. WNEW has the Yankees, whatever. And then Channel 5 had Wonderama on and all that shit. But one of those stations had it on. And I remember putting in Master Reality, the album we just had, Children of the Grave, on, mm-hmm. which has, like, fucking Into the Void and all these masterful fucking tracks. And I put the earphones on to listen to Master Reality, but I was watching The Exorcist at the same time. And let me tell you something, my friend. I fucking shit my pants. I turned that thing off and never listened to Master fucking Reality again. You think I'm kidding you? That's how scary that album is to listen to on that angel dust. That was my 17th birthday.
Jesus.
How fucking sad. That's my 17th birthday. I was doing fucking angel dust like a fucking mook. Can you believe that shit in this day and age? You're going to fucking sit there? Or you're going to put some fucking music on? Hit me with a little on and on. I'm in the mood for heavy metal today. So I was going through my collection. I'm in the mood for a little fucking... there was a band called UFO.
Okay.
And before that, Rainbow, and this guy Michael Schenkner was the brother to the fucking guitar player. But he left Rainbow and he went to UFO, and they put a couple good albums out in the fucking 70s. Then in the 80s, he went solo. And in like 79, 81, he had two albums. He had the first one, then the second one came out like November of 81. Michael Schenkner's a great guitar player. He plays the Canyon Club, and I go up there and watch him every once in a while. This is on and on. Hit it, fucking Lee. And we're smoking dope, Lee. It's all over. I don't want to hear about puking. When I came in, I go, we're eating edible. I can't eat edible.
No.
But you're back on Monday. You're only taking a sabbatical.
I'm done with edibles.
What, Lee? Bam! Oh, shit, Lee. You want in on this?
No, I can't. I don't know how you take hits off that small
what
stuff.
What the fuck? You gotta get your finger, you gotta burn your fingers. You know you condition your fingers to do? You gotta stick your finger up a crack hose asshole. And it puts the acid from the crack that goes on your fingers and you develop a foot. Hit it, Lee! I got no place to hide. Nowhere to run. Hit it, Lee. What's up, baby? And the vapor's back. We got the Eureka. This is the Blackout OG. Are you fucking kidding me or what? That's how we do it here at the church. What's happening? I'm always mixing it up for you. Let you know what's fucking crack-a-lacking, a word of herbage.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I took a little breather off from the vaporizer.
Why?
Just to get it back. Just to make, because I was smoking it a lot.
Well, yeah.
Now I'm going to start smoking the vaporizer, and I'm off the fucking trees for a while.
Uh-huh.
Now I'll switch it up like a doctor. See, so you got no fucking worries. You know what I'm saying? Like, who loves you more than me, cops?
Is there any science to this, or you're just like, fuck it, I'm done with this for a while?
Listen, there's always science to it. You know what I'm saying? But you gotta, it's all, life is what? What's fucking life? In moderation. You smoke weed for a quarter of the year, then you smoke the vapor pen for a quarter of the year. You smoke weed for a quarter, and you smoke the vapor pen for a quarter. You gotta use your coconut once in a while.
I think moderation is when you don't have it. I don't think it's when you switch it to when you're getting fucking but stoned.
Fucking moderation when you don't have it. You gotta, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thing turns blue, and now you're fucking gazelle off with this monster of debt.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, I'm all set. I gotta go to work in a second. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, shit.
Come take one.
I'm all set. I'll
take a roach and I'll put it on your eyeball.
With all the blood tests you've been taking, has someone taken you aside and be like, Joey, we've never seen so much weed in someone's blood?
They don't test me for the THC levels. If not,
you can't test for THC?
Yeah, you can, but they don't test for that unless they're told to test, unless you're on probation or something. Look at Lee losing weight with a little physique on. Let me see the smoke come out of here. Oh shit, look at Lee blowing fucking bazookas like Snoop Dogg.
Jesus Christ.
I'm starting to get it. Let's give out some shout outs, Lee. You're fucking killing me here. How about a shout out to my man Andy Rosebrook, Corey Lee, Jeff Hamburg, Ill Nasty, you bad motherfucker. You're on there arguing with people all day. Trevor Demis, Rob D. Death Squad Connecticut, another guy arguing with people. I love it. But Patrick McKay, Joe S., and what's her name? My girl, Jill Himitsu, the sexy little fucking half Asian with the glasses, the Gemma of Death Squad. It's got a new webpage. Go to it. Checks out all the schedules. #shows.com. Jill Himitsu, you sexy little fucking savage, you. What else is going on, Lee? You got no stories. You got fucking nothing. I fainted at the doctor's office. It's all over.
Yeah, fuck it.
That's it. President's Day. What's the next big holiday, Lee? Fucking Easter.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Easter.
I don't know anything about that.
I didn't give up shit for Lent. I just won't eat meat on Fridays. No, I just won't eat meat on Fridays.
Okay.
I'll stick to it. I didn't eat sushi this week either. I just made some fish tacos, cereal for lunch, some oatmeal, and tuna for fucking dinner. With some wasabi on it, some green onions, tremendous.
What's the reason behind, is there a reason behind not having meat on Fridays?
Listen, what is this, Jeopardy? You know what I'm saying? Unless you got a yardstick for me, I ain't answering that fucking question.
You know, you didn't learn
sitting
anything?
There with a fucking Jew flag behind you, asking me about why we eat fish on Friday. It symbolizes something. I remember what it was. Now, I'm fucking stoned. You can't ask me that shit. Now, I don't know what's going on right now.
No wonder that nun wanted to beat you up. You weren't paying attention.
No, man. It symbolizes something. See, I just like giving something up just for myself. I don't, you know. Nobody's going to tell me what the fuck. You got to give something up, you know. I just give it up to myself. You have a good time.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And it's 40 days, right? It's a little bit over a month?
Something like that.
Okay.
Something like that. You know, you just got to go and you give it up on Fridays. That's it. I know people put themselves, I'm not going to drink. You're going to tap out. Who gives a fuck about that? You know, you don't give up chocolate. Like, I knew my friend Marilyn used to give up chocolate. You know, Catholic fucking people are crazy right now. There's no Pope. He's going to get charged with murders or something. I don't fucking know. What's it got to do with me? I have a belief in my heart. That's all I have. It's got nothing to do with the Pope and all this other shit that goes on. That's it. I make it easy.
Have you taken your daughter to church yet?
No, not yet. In front of the church. In front. Not to church. Not yet. She's too fucking young.
Okay.
I'm going to baptize her.
Okay.
Eventually. When? I don't fucking know. I got like 9 years to do it.
Oh, really?
I don't know. You know, you got to do it like Michael Corleone. They're a kid and you shoot people while she's getting back. That's what I wanted. I wanted to baptize and settle all fucking scores. And I think I am going to still do that, but I haven't decided.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You got to have a good time.
Yeah.
Got to have a fucking good time. I can't believe we're here. I got an acting coach to help me with my movies.
Oh, shit.
You know, every time I've done a movie, I go in there, I do the work myself. Whatever work is done, I learn the lines. I try to figure out a character or two. But again, like I said, I got to face De Niro face to face. I got no fucking theatrical background. I never did theater in New York. This is just me. This is just flavor. And acting, I'm just going to keep this motherfucker real. So but I'm going to go see this guy this Friday and the following Friday.
Yeah.
And I've been writing a lot. So everything's good. I've been working out steady. I feel good. My bones feel good. Strong bone, the protein shakes. I've been staying out, a lot of water. Spoke to Brody Stevens yesterday. He's also doing well.
Oh, good.
You know, the whole thing about doing this is to stick into something. You know, making a schedule. You know, having a schedule is so fucking important. And I always knew that. And I went away from it. And now, if you go to my house and I show you my little yellow notebook, I have the schedule to the minute. Yeah. My wife can't figure it out. My wife looks and she goes, I don't believe this. I have like a weekly schedule and then a daily fucking schedule to the minute. You know, and I just, whatever. And I stick to the schedule as much as I can, you know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you oversleep. You know, some nights I get up at 4 and I write till 6. Some nights I get up at 1:30.
Yeah.
And I'll write till like 4. I won't go on Twitter and then I'll go, let me lay down for half an hour and I'll go on Twitter. And I sleep till 7 or 8. People get pissed off at me. They think I'm slacking. No. I got up to write in the middle of the night because I was thinking about shit, you know.
I was going to call you this morning when I got home, but you hadn't tweeted yet. So I'm like, shit, maybe still sleeping.
What time did you get home?
7:30.
I was going to call you last night when I got in from the haha.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because I'm trying to write the Testicle Testaments is in 2 weeks. And the 4 Testicle Testaments that I basically put up, you know, 2 of them were after comedy and going to prison and stuff. But the other ones were like pre, when I was a kid in high school.
Yeah.
This one I'm writing about now is 1984, like I told the fucking the editor when he called the other day. And I've been really writing this and it's really been tearing up my insides. You know, like when you write something, it's making me remember about all the bad things I did that year. And it's been tearing up my insides, but I've been writing good jokes from it. So sometimes, and that's what I do, sometimes people like Tony Hinkle call you, he goes, how's the joke writing going? I go, you know what? The joke writing's going good. Thank God I'm writing drama. Because from the fucking drama, I you know, the ad, like, some of this shit is so fucking bad. But not bad in the sense that, like, I killed somebody or I raped somebody or lit somebody on fire. It was crimes against myself, which sometimes are the worst fucking crimes.
Mm-hmm.
When you become a whore or when you, when I say a whore, I don't mean I was sucking fucking dicks. When you just don't give a fuck. When I was living for the score every day. And that's a weird way to live. But if you really think about what I do now, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I live to do comedy at night. With this shit, I was living to steal or to sell coke or to make a move every day. And it's taught me how to adjust to this. That's why when you ask me, what are you doing next week? I don't know. I'm living life a motherfucking today. Once today's over, I'll tell you about tomorrow. Somebody called me today. Go, hey, we'd like to get you in for a read on this. I go, can we get you in? I go, call me at 7:05 and I'll tell you my schedule for tomorrow, you know? So it's pretty fucking interesting. This chick killed herself, and I want to talk about that. It was very sad this week.
Oh, the singer.
Mindy McCready. She was a friend of mine, and he had contacted me about 3 years ago when she had done a celebrity rehab and he was telling me about how fucked up she was. And they dated when he lived in Nashville and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, people are exploiting Dr. They're mad at Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
You know? And I'll tell you what. When the show first aired, I considered calling them up and tapping out or getting on. Way before Dr. Drew had anything to do with it, Joe Rogan wanted to do a reality show with me where he would get me cleaned up.
Okay.
They would check my blood levels and they would do all this shit. And the production company was ready to go. I'm the one that backed out on it because reality wasn't around yet. And this was just a little bit too real.
Oh, yeah.
It was them coming to my house at 2 in the morning with a camera. I'll fucking kill you. Especially when I'm coked up. I don't give a fuck what it says on that camera, on that contract, you know? And what it was like the fat show that they had, celebrity fat show, whatever the fuck it
Fit
was.
Club, yeah.
They give you $90,000 for whatever it is, 8 weeks, and you only see them twice a day. The rest of this you're supposed to do on your own.
Yeah.
Now, when a person loses weight, you know, he gets on a scale, and he goes, wow, you know, I fucking gained 30 pounds over the holidays. I'm going to go to Weight Watchers, or I'm going to try to do something. They do it on their own will. They go to a doctor. A doctor says you need to lose weight. This is me calling you up because I saw you on the street and going, hey, Lee, I saw you the other day and you looked a little overweight. I'm casting a celebrity fat man show. Fat man alert! Would you consider coming on? And you're like, I don't know, you know. Joey, we're from friends. You called me for this and next thing you know, I'm like, you know, $90,000 for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what? You're going to do the fucking show. And part of it is going to make you do the show for you. But the other part of it, the way I would do it, was for the 90 fucking grand.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I'm going to go in there and lose a pound or two, and I'm going to try to be cute, and I'm going to get the same results I've been getting all my fucking life, which is shit, you know, when you try to be fucking cute. And I just assume that the rest the same went for celebrity drug rehab.
It has to be.
That they paid you. I know for a fact they paid you like $100,000 for 15 days. Now, did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, I watched the season with her on it.
Right, like after the sixth episode, they all want to leave.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Why do you think? Do you think it's because the food is bad? No, because you want to go get high. 6 fucking days. You can't believe it. The only thing that's keeping you sober is that $90,000 to finish the fucking show. Because they didn't give a fuck whether you got clean or not.
No.
It was all about the $90,000. So that's what pissed me off about this show. And if he's a real therapist, whatever, listen, man, let's fucking be honest here. I did blow for 30 fucking years. Am I proud of it? No, I'm not fucking proud of it, but it happened. And that's the way fucking life turns out sometimes. It just happens. And half of you people that are watching this, you know, I get emails from you guys. You're telling me you're getting high, you're eating pills, you got over it, whatever. We're all in the fucking same boat. We're all addicted to some shit or whatever. You know, you want to go cry. But how did we get fucking healed? How did we get healed? What was the real sense of us getting healed? We came to peace with that situation. When you first start getting high, Lee, you don't even know why the fuck you're getting high and you're doing these things to yourself. When you go on the destructive fucking point of your life, like think of the bass player from Alice in Chains, you know, he got thrown out of the band and he lost it. That's just the fucking way life is. You know, somebody was telling me that what really happened with what's the black comedian that's going Cat Williams?
Cat, yeah.
Is that one of his wives, one of his girlfriends had a miscarriage.
Wow.
That's what, when you mix fucking cocaine and this, it avalanches, you know? It's just a bunch of shit takes over. So,
yeah.
You know, the people that have gotten clean, that we've had communication on Gmail or on fucking whatever, we've had communication, pills, they'll tell you that I could give them $1 million. They weren't going to fucking get clean.
No.
It's a certain situation, something that snaps, and it's for free. It's not the 18 fucking rehabs you've been to. It's not whatever the fuck you've been to. It's you. You have a self-will. You know George, who calls in the show, that you met his grandmother?
Yeah.
You know, George got arrested 19 times. I don't know the exact number. I'm just telling you guys.
He got arrested enough,
You know, enough times. And one of the times he went in there and he goes, hey, forget throwing me in jail. And no, he goes, forget rehab. They wanted to put him in a state-run rehab.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I've already been to fucking 6 rehabs. Throw me in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to jail, and you know what? To this day, he's never done fucking H again. But that's what it took. He wanted to get clean. And then, you know, he wanted to get clean. If you read that Kevin, what's the guitar player from the Stones, Keith Richards?
Yeah.
If you read that fucking book, he talks about kicking, you know? And I used his stuff about kicking when I kicked cigarettes, because it's the same thing. It's 48 hours. When you kick cigarettes, when you kick heroin, well, heroin's a little longer. Let's just give cigarettes. The number one problem right now before diets is probably cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, when you go into plan to quit cigarettes, it's 48 hours of debt.
Is that it? Yeah, it's like...
It's 48 hours of debt. You're going to have a hard time with it.
Yeah. And it's like... I think they say it's like 3 days and then... And
it's 72 hours of debt and a week and a half of fucking pain. But if you do it right.
Yeah.
If you get one of these things to break the fucking psychology... If you really get the patch and you really stick... Now, it's funny because the first time I quit smoking, I used the patch, and that was it. You know, I still smoked reefer, which made it tougher. I tested myself. Because anybody who smokes cigarettes and reefer knows it's not the reefer that fucking gets you. It's when you light that cigarette up to chase that motherfucking joint. That's where the party's
at.
Oh, fuck. You have no idea.
Yeah.
I would buy a pack of cigarettes. If I got a $20 bag of weed, I get a pack of cigarettes just because I want to come... Nothing like finishing up a joint, and by that fucking joint is getting turned off, you're putting a fucking cigarette to your lips. There's no party better than that one. Anybody who knows that that's where the whole patois starts. And when you first suck that nicotine in, now you got the nicotine, the reefer, the fucking alcohol from the beer, whether you drink or not, whatever the fuck you do at home on your own time, that's what gets you going. That's the whole patois. This time here, I didn't use nothing. I woke up one morning and said, it's over today.
Yeah.
And I tried, and I said, fuck the patch. If you're going to quit, you're going to quit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how you do things, when you make your mind up to something. So if you're thinking, and that's what I didn't like about celebrity rehab, that 9 out of 10 of those actors that went in there never went in with the intention of getting cleaned up. Yeah, they got the call. They probably had to go to a physical. They knew the day was going to come. The same way I always know the day is going to come. Hey, March 18th, you're going to need to get a needle. You need to go to surgery. March 18th, to me right now, that's, what is it, February 20th, It's a fucking milestone away. It's a year away to a guy like me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the fuck you want to hear till March 18th. I won't start sweating bullets till March 17th at about 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
That's when I'll realize the mistake I've made by committing to this.
No, the show is definitely... The problem I have with it is it's not people not taking responsibility. So, yeah, the show... They stick cameras in the faces and they edit it, and it's a show. It's supposed to be entertaining, but A, no one made them be there, and B,
$90,000.
Yeah,
made them be there.
Well, yeah. Well,
oh shit.
Oh shit.
This fucking Eureka's on fire like Madonna's asshole in '84.
But people like blaming Dr. Drew, and yeah, he's definitely taking advantage of people. But he's also, you know, they don't talk about the people who didn't die but are better for it. So I think people, when stuff like this happens, yeah, five people died who were on the show.
Well, five people iced themselves. That's fucking pretty hard.
No, and it's
hey, people weren't ready to do it. Fucking dog. That would kill me. Mindy McGrady went out there and shot the dog.
I saw that, yeah.
And people are talking about, why would you shoot the dog? Hey, let me tell you something, man. If I love something as much as I love my fucking cats, and somebody's coming to kill us, you know what? They're going to die on my fucking terms.
Yeah.
You know, they're my fucking animals. I don't have the heart to shoot any of my cats.
No.
I would just hold them close to me and we'll fucking pray. We'll fight this motherfucker on our own. I mean...
You'd send your cats at them?
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine shooting one of my fucking animals. It would destroy me.
No, I couldn't do that.
It would fucking destroy me. I love my animals too fucking much, man, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, but she had a troubled life, and my my heart goes out to her. Hey, listen, man. Again, the balls on people tweeting me and saying, fuck you, you're too happy in the mornings, you know? Because I know.
Yeah.
I fucking know. I know I could have been dead right now. It's one little fucking blast.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. It's my brother, Ed Suarez.
Joey D.
What's up, beautiful?
What's up, man? Okay. Just stepped outside. I'm over here at Leoto's house. I just stepped outside to make a phone call to you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling in, man. How's Leoto doing?
He's doing awesome, man. He did the open workout today, and now he's just sitting inside the house. We got Melvin Manouf here, Manouf, who's you know, part of the Black House team now. He's been helping him get ready for this fight, and they're just, you know, watching videos on Dan and just talking about different stuff.
So he trained up here for this fight. Leoto.
Yeah, oh yeah, Leoto wow. lives up here now. He literally lives like, I don't know, six blocks away from me.
Wow, and the dad came up also to train him?
The dad gets here today. His uncle got here about a week and a half ago. So, and his brother's been here for about a month. So, his brother, has been here for a month. His uncle got here about a week and a half ago, and then his dad gets here today.
Wow! So this is a great fight this weekend. This is a tremendous card, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm excited for Leoto.
Yeah, I'm excited for him too, man. You know, we saw Dan Henderson there today, and. Dan, you're always going to get a fight from Dan. There's no easy fight against Dan Henderson. That guy's a tough son of a bitch, man.
You know what, man? Leoto had the answer for a lot of tough son of a bitches. He might have the answer for Dan, you know? He might have
the answer he's looking for the finish, you know. Leoto's definitely for the past few fights, you know, he looks for the finish, and that's what he's doing. I mean, I think the last time he went to the last time he went to decision, he actually got a bad decision against Quentin Jackson, so that's been quite a few years. So he's always been going for the finishes.
Good for you, man. And how's our other boy doing down in Brazil? He's just chilling?
Oh, Anderson, he actually gets here today. He's getting here today. He's got the grand opening of his training facility on Friday here in Torrance. So he'll be here for that. He arrives today, but he's doing good, man.
What's the name of his gym?
It's the Muay Thai College. It's his little gym, but as of right now, it's kind of like a private gym because they're just trying to get things all worked out to be able to be open for the public. But I don't know if this particular location is going to be able to do that, but they're working on it now.
Now, is this school that's opening up Friday going to be open to the public on this Friday?
No, it won't be open to the public this Friday. It's actually going to be like an invite kind of thing, like the grand opening, just an invite. But it probably won't be open to the public until they get all the proper permits, but they're pretty close to getting those done.
And what time is the opening on Friday?
It's from 6 to 9, I believe.
6 in the afternoon?
Yes, 6 in the afternoon.
You think you'll invite Joey Carotti?
Come on, man.
I got a show with Joe in Anaheim if you want to come Friday. I know you're busy with your fighters, but I'll go by you first for the grand opening and then shoot to Anaheim.
Yeah, you know, because I'm going to be at the weigh-ins with Lyoto, then I'm rushing over to the grand opening. So the weigh-ins are at, so I'll be there, man. You know what? I'll text you the address and everything.
Okay, thank you, man. And what else is going on in your world? What else has been going on with the management team, other clients?
Yeah, you know, the management's, you know, that's moving along. It's going good. You know, I'm real excited about the RFA, you know, the organization that I'm the president of. We got a lot of great teams working. We got the Access Television deal. We got our event. Our next event is going to be March 22nd in Denver, Colorado. That's really, I'm really enjoying that, that whole side of the promotion, from going from being on the management side and the fighter side to moving over to the promoter side. I really enjoy it, man, because, you know, I got into this business, you know, strictly for the love of it, and, you know, thank God it's worked out well, and I'm able to make a good living from it, but it's nice to really help the fighters, and you know, being a promoter, it feels good to be able to give so many different fighters opportunities to go out there and show their skills, and especially when we're able to air it on national television, it just gives the guys out there and all the fighters in the world another opportunity to go out there and show their stuff, and hopefully our organization could be a stepping stone to get them to where they want to be, which, you know, 99.9% of the fighters want to be in the UFC, so it's nice to be able to try to help them get to where they want to go.
And the RFA, the fights will be here in LA?
No, all over, man. We haven't done one in L.A. The next one's going to be in Denver, Colorado.
Really? What day? That?
We've done them in March 22nd is going to be in Denver, Colorado. But we do they're Friday nights because that's the television deal we have with Access TV. You know, they have their Friday night fights, so we're one of the organizations that they work with. So, you know, we've done shows in Kearney, Nebraska. We've done shows in Las Vegas. We've done shows in Kansas City. Now we're doing Denver. Looks like, we're probably going to be going back to the Midwest sometime in June. And, you know, maybe go back to Vegas sometime in summer, too.
That's amazing, Ed. Good for you, Ed. Ed, you really... You're really growing with this, you know. Everybody's growing. I mean, I knew something last Monday. I knew that after the fight last weekend. I mean, who fought last weekend? It was Frankie Edgar 2 weeks ago. Who fought? Nog. Damian Maia beat John Fitch. And when I found out, I didn't watch the fight that night, but when I found out the result, I knew in my heart that John Fitch was gone. You know, he had some problems with Dana, with the game, and then with the fight, and I just knew it was, they're saying that he's a boring fight or whatever, and I think I love John Fitch. I've always loved him, but it's amazing that mixed martial arts has been around for a while now. You know, we're seeing guys go away. We saw Tito and Randy and all these guys, Chuck and now, you know, John Fitch and George, the other guy got... I mean, the UFC let go of a bunch of people yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's so weird how...
Well, they've been letting go of a lot of people. I mean, I'll tell you right now, you know, they just recently let go of one of our fighters that I was completely, like, couldn't understand why, but they let go of Diego Nunes. You know what I mean?
Right, yes.
Yeah, I don't get it, but, you know, it just proves to show you that they're just... There's just too many fighters and just not enough opportunity for these guys. You know?
And,
gotta let them.
And that's what I'm thinking now. You know, 3 years ago, if you got cut from the UFC, you know, you went home and fucked around with a gun for a couple of hours. and thought about shooting yourself because there was really nothing else unless you went to Brazil or whatever the fuck, opened up a school. But now, you know, Bellator is looking great on Spike, and Glory is coming, and your organization, and, you know,
yeah,
so...
But at the end of the day, man, I mean, you know, the reality is hopefully there's more and more organizations out there that are going to be able to provide some sort of opportunity for these guys, because right now it's only the UFC, and you know, it sucks, you know what I mean? It's a lot of pressure on everybody's back. It's a pressure on the fighters, you know, because, you know, when the fighters are starting to feel like, oh shit, if I lose, I'm cut, then you're gonna not really get the best sort of fights possible, because I feel that they're gonna fight not to lose, not fight to win and put on a performance. So, you know, I think hopefully that'll change, and, you know, hopefully guys can go out there and feel like they can go out there and fight and not get cut if they lose. But, you know, right now with, you know, the merging of Strikeforce and the UFC and all of that, it's just, you know, they just got too many fighters. I mean, it just doesn't fit. You know, you got 33 events, you know, and now they just got another 48 fighters that came over from Strikeforce. And when you add it up, you think, okay, it's just simple math. You look at the math and you say, okay, if they've got 10 to 11 fights on a card and they do 33 events, that's approximately 360 fights. That's so, which would be 720 spots. If they've got 300 fighters on contract, and each fighter is you know, they base your contract on three fights per year, right there is 900 fights, 900 opportunities. What I just pointed out to you, there's still 200 slots that are missing. Granted, guys would get hurt. Granted, things like that happen. But there's just too many guys signed to the UFC. There's just not enough spots.
Wow. Well, you know what? You've seen the movie Gladiator, right?
Yeah.
There was good fights in that, right? They knew they would fucking die if they lose. So, you know, it raises the stakes now as a fighter, you know, that you have to really, you know, Dana's not fucking around. It's not even Dana. He just has what he has.
Yeah, he has what he has. I don't think it's Dana. I don't think it's anybody who really enjoys calling fighters and telling them, hey, guess what? You lost. You're cut. But it's just a matter of what they have to do. There's just, you know, there's only so many spots open in the UFC, and that's just the way the ball bounces, you know. And hopefully there'll be other opportunities. Yes, Bellator is coming on strong, and hopefully that'll be another great alternative for guys too. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you were to ask any fighter, you know, what's your goal? Your goal is to become the UFC champion. You know, if you're going to be a fighter, you want to be the UFC champion. It's kind of like saying you want to play basketball and you go play in Europe, or you say you want to play football and you end up playing in the CFL. There's nothing wrong with it, but at the end of the day, when you want to be a pro football player, you want to play in the NFL.
Fuck,
you want to be a pro basketball player, you want to be in the NBA. If you want to be a pro fighter, you want to fight in the UFC.
You want to be a comedian, you want to be on HBO. Fuck Comedy Central, these other cocksuckers, Showtime. That's your thing. You want to be on HBO. That's the, when I was coming up, it was fucking HBO. That was it. HBO trumps everybody. That's it.
Yeah.
No, it's scary. When I read that today about John Fitch, it kind of, I knew it was going to happen, you know, I knew it was a matter of time, but it's the switching of the guard, you know, a lot of, and Diego Nunes also, that fucking blew my mind, you know, that was right there, like that kid's, but you know what, Diego's young, he'll go to an organization, win three fights and come back and be stronger than ever. That's the other side of the coin too with these guys, so sometimes you need a kick in the fucking stomach to get you going sometimes, so.
I agree.
And you know what? Okay. But you ain't got that problem because you got the baddest pound-for-pound fighter in the fucking world. I mean, you know, the next fight for him has got to be like the 12 apostles and Jesus. That's all. Who the fuck are you going to put up against? I love these guys. Everybody wants to raise their hand against them, and it destroys my insides because it's like you've seen what he does against killers. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Because you beat up two dudes with a fucking right hand? You got to come prepared to fucking fuck up Anderson Silva.
Well, you know, I mean, as of right now, I mean, everyone is pushing for this Chris Weidman fight. I mean, you know, that's the fight. I mean, you know, people get all pissed off at me when I said that. And, you know, I think Chris Weidman is a tough kid, and I think he's got a bright future. But like I said before, I mean, at the end of the day, man, you know, Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva's got more title defenses in the UFC than Chris Weidman has fights.
You know, we discussed it on the phone before. I love Chris Weidman. He's out of Long Island. Tough motherfucker, head like a pit bull. You know, beat up on Mark Munoz. He supposedly knocked out this kid that's tearing up the Ultimate Fighter, Uriah, years ago in a fight. I love Chris Weidman. He's a protege of little guy Matt Serra, the whole fucking deal.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's raising his hand and saying that Anderson's ducking him. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you know that? Listen.
Well, I think anybody that says Anderson's ducking anybody, I think, is that nuts. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, Anderson has fought everybody that, they've put in front of him. You know what I'm saying?
No, I got a lot of respect for Chris, but I think all these people are trying to create, the UFC is like anything else in America the last 20 years. Somebody does two good fucking fights, and right away they want to put him on a pedestal. He's the next fucking big thing. But with Anderson, they're all waiting for him to lose. Everybody's cheering for Anderson to lose, but he's been up there. How many title defenses?
Well, he's got, right now, he's got 10 title defenses. Huh. But it should be 11, but then again, Luter didn't make weight. So, to me, whether that was for a title or not, I still consider that a title defense. But officially, he's got 10 title defenses with 16 consecutive wins. I mean, it's crazy.
Look at that highlight reel. You look at Henderson getting choked out. You look at Vitor getting the kick to the face. And then you look at the fucking precision of the knee, where he put it in Stefan Bonner's fucking chest. Stefan Bonner still can't, he still can't drink fucking iced tea because of heart murmurs. He still can't drink iced tea with fucking sugar in it. Chris Bonner, whatever his fucking name is. I mean, I know for a fact that I'm a crazy motherfucker. If you gave me like a gram of meth or something, I know I would throw a punch at Anderson Silva. But after that, I know what's coming at me. I know that I won't even see those hands. If fucking Dan Henderson didn't see getting choked up, what the fuck am I going to see coming? If Vitor, who's been fighting for 30 fucking years, hasn't seen it, he was fighting before Jesus and the cross, if he didn't see that kick coming to his fucking face, what are my chances? Are So I have a lot of respect for Anderson from day one, and I got a lot of respect for what you do, you little fuck. You know I love you.
I love you too, Joey. I always appreciate everything.
You know, I had a little baby girl, and whenever I'm holding her, I always think of you, and I always think of what you told me once, that if it was up to you, you would just move to Monmouth with your daughter and ski all the fucking time and get her in the Olympics, and I've never forgotten that, brother, so...
That's my dream. I told my youngest daughter about 2 years ago, we were going up a chairlift, and I said, you want to know how you can get anything you want from Dad? And she said, how? And I said, start ski racing. And she didn't bite, though. She didn't bite. She's still playing soccer.
Good for her. Well, she's doing something, so that's good. How old is she now? Yeah. You have two of them, right? You have two little girls.
Yeah. My oldest one is 15.
Oh,
she's
God.
A sophomore in high school. And then my youngest one is 9 years old. She's in fourth grade.
Wait till she goes to the prom and Anderson's the fucking limo driver. That kid's all hot and sticky and shit, shows up with flowers and shit, and also the limo drivers, Anderson and Lyoto Machida Noguera. That's who her fucking, that's who her bodyguards are that night. The kid's like, I want to go home. I want to go fucking home. Ed, I love you, man. I'm happy you called today. And do you have a webpage for this league you've created that people go on there and read?
It's rfafighting.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's our site, and like I said, man, you could watch our shows on Access TV, and like I said, our shows have really been good. We got a lot of up and coming talent. We got guys like Sergio Pettis, Anthony Pettis' little brother. We got Bubba Jenkins that signed there. We got Steve Mocco, who was competed in the Olympics.
I just talked to him. I just talked to him. You know, I fucking grew up with his family.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he showed up with Thiago Alves and the rest of America's top team over to West Palm Beach. And I looked at him and I go, Steve Mocco? And I hugged him and, he's a fucking beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. And we got like that Chidi Njikawani, who's a really exciting fighter. Actually, he'll be fighting. Brandon Thatch is another kid who's going to be the main event. It's Brandon Thatch on our March 22nd show. It's Brandon Thatch versus Leandro Silva, who... Leandro's one of the guys from Brazil, tough kid. And then we got Chidi Njikawani, who's going to be the co-main event.
Then he's fighting a guy named Jeremy Kimball from Colorado, and then we got Sergio Pettis that's fighting on the card. It's gonna be a good card, man.
Well, man, as always, Ed, you've always been one of my favorites since day one. I wish you all the luck in the world. I wish you all the luck this weekend. You don't fucking need luck. You're a bad motherfucker. And I'll be cheering for you guys this weekend.
I always need luck, man. I always need luck. You can never have too much luck, man.
How's the partner doing?
Oh, he's great, man. He's the world's most interesting man, George Guimarães.
Yes, he is. And the wife is good. Is good.
Hey, Dos Equis knocked him off, bro. He's the real.
He's the real. Yes, he is. He even talks like that. He talks like that from the heart.
Yeah, he does. And my wife is great, man. You know, she's a hell of a woman to be able to put up with me.
You're lucky. You got it all good. I wish you luck. I love you. Thank you very much for taking the time and calling in today for the church of what's happening now. I love you, buddy.
All right, man. I love you, too.
Text me the address, and I'll try to go see you guys Friday. I won't make it to the weigh-in, but I'll definitely go to the opening of the school and see what's cracking over there.
What I'll do is I'll take a picture of the invitation and send it to you right now.
Okay, you're beautiful, man. Thank you very much for coming on.
All right, bro. Take care. All right, bye.
There you go. You didn't ask no questions, Lee. What the fuck?
No, I was listening to you talk, but something I thought about when you guys were talking, because I didn't hear about John Fitch getting released, and it occurred to me that in any major sport, there's always the teams that people beat up on and that are bad, and that's why they have the draft, because eventually those teams will get good. And I was looking at the list of people who got released.
Right.
All of them had amazing records, yes. Like 15-6, but like the last two or three fights were down, so they cut them. So in every UFC fight, it seems like they're trying to have a great fight. There's not going to be like this one guy in the UFC that, oh, it's an easy fight, so you'll beat up on him and then you'll just go. Like, they're trying to have it only be really good fights, and that's something that I hadn't thought about before. But they're just there's not going to be an easy fight. Well, there will be if they mismatch, but the hope is it won't be an easy fight.
Right, and people know that the UFC ain't fucking around, you know. And I like what Dana's done. I like what a lot of those guys have done with their you know, the way they handle shit. I mean, I like how the UFC works, but I knew, you know, I love John Fitch. I was there when he fought GSP, and I cheered for him. I like that style of, he was a captain of the Purdue wrestling team. I really was a fan, and once he lost to GSP, I knew in the back of my mind, sometimes you have nowhere to go in that division. Either he drops to 155, or he goes to 185, you know. So I'm so happy I've gotten into MMA because it's helped my comedy.
Really?
In so many ways. Seeing what happens with MMA and using the contrast to what I do in stand-up. You know, you ever watch a fight and the guy gets knocked down and he's on his back and nothing happens? That means he didn't work on his jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
I was telling Terry yesterday at lunch how for a long time when I was down on comedy, I would only work with Joe. And there was months where I wouldn't get on stage for 3 weeks. You know me.
Yeah.
You know I'm always on stage. At this time, 3-4 years ago, I would only get on stage if Joe called me and said, you want to do a show with me Friday? And on the way, I would write two pseudo jokes, and I would go up there, and it was a 50-50 toss-up.
Yeah.
What I would do. I mean, yeah, naturally I could think and shit like that, but when you're in front of 800 people, you know, it changes, and I would eat shit. And I started, you know, you have to have conditioning, you have to have your jiu-jitsu, your kickboxing. So I took writing and I equivalent it to jiu-jitsu.
Okay.
The shit I hate doing the most. You know, that's the shit. Everybody loves kicking. Everybody loves punching. Everybody loves getting on top of somebody and punching the shit out of them. But being on the bottom sucks. And I remember going to lunch with Eddie, and Eddie going, in the future, jiu-jitsu guys really have to learn to work off their back, because the wrestlers that are coming into the league can hold them down. They fucking will. They can do whatever the fuck they want to them. So they really have to learn how to fight off their fucking back.
Yeah.
So I attributed that to writing. I attributed improv to strength and conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I attributing Muay Thai to performance.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I put it together that way. And I started getting better, and people started paying more attention to me when I started writing, which was what most people don't want to do off their back. I don't want to do that. I got a badass right hand. You know, that's how I was going on stage. I don't need to write. I write on stage. No, you can't. Yeah. You could do that 50% of the times, but your percentages of doing good are going to go down. Because, yeah, sometimes you might be amazing, but because you're not prepared, you're not going to go nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, being prepared is the most important thing with fucking anything. You know, and I learn it with here sometimes. I make little notes so I know where to fucking go. Being prepared makes a complete difference. I used to go on stage and just rely on... You ever watch a certain UFC, whatever, what do you call them, countdown to the UFC?
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain camps that all they talk about is how hard the guy hits. The guy hits hard. The guy hits hard. Well, guess what? In the UFC, everybody fucking hits hard. It's not about hitting hard or getting hit. It's about maneuvering around that. And the same thing goes to comedy. You know, you have to do things that people don't expect from you. And for a long time, people going, let's just go see Joey. He's going to be dirty, and he might be funny off the cuff. Now when they come see me, I try to give them a story, and I try to richen it up for them. So that's how I do it. And the same thing goes. I know if I have 3 or 4 bad sets, I'm done.
Yeah.
No club's going to fucking bring me back. No. And I always have bad sets because my material's fucking crazy. So I'm always going to have one bad set. The first fucking show, I'm going to get a bus full of Christians, and I'm going to be up there talking about pigeoning chicks, sticking your nose up their ass. And you know what? I'd flip out, too. What the fuck was that? Holy shit, the whole lights went out.
Your bus coming. But you know that Allen Iverson quote, like we're talking about practice, like one of his last years in Philadelphia? There's a reason why people practice, and it's so you can be prepared, and you'll know what to do without thinking about it. And that's the reason why Allen Iverson's out. People like Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett are still in. It's the people who put in the work, and it's the same thing with comedy. You could just work with Joe and work stadiums. You don't have to go to the Ha Ha Cafe on Tuesday nights, but that's the reason you can only for so long. You can only be the young guy who can just do it based off of skill of God given talent for so long, and the people who stay in it for 20, 30 years, or Anderson Silva who's had 10 defenses. It's because. I bet Anderson Silva is just not
prepares.
Showing up to the fight
yet. Yeah, he prepares.
He's fighting every
you
day.
You know, for fucking years, and it shows. Listen, I have a great film resume. If you look at my IMDb, I've been acting, you know, since I walked off the fucking plane here. But, and I can book. Lee, I know how to audition. I know how to go in there and rip it up. I'm not scared because I know in there how to go on stage for 7 minutes and rip it up. So I'm not scared of all this stuff. But I was noticing, you know, when I was doing films and shit, I mean, I'm not a fucking actor, and I'm not into that. I'm not Abe Lincoln or Daniel Day-Lewis. It's coming to me and all that bullshit. But I'm a fucking one-trick fucking pony. So, you know, when I was talking to you guys here last week, and I realized how important this movie is to my career. I mean, I haven't gone out for auditions this year. I've been out to 2 fucking theatrical auditions and 1 commercial, and the rest I've just been writing. I'm writing this Testicle Testament. I'm trying to write the book with Omar. You know, writing has been something that I didn't like fucking doing. The most, like, people don't like getting on their back and doing fucking jujitsu and people sweating on you, and you got your mouth open and somebody's eyebrow sweat balls in your fucking mouth, and you got to smell their ball sweat. I don't like that either, but that's what I decided to do. And for the first time, you know, I got this fucking movie, and I'm telling you motherfuckers that are my backbone that, you know, how lucky I am that all these motherfucking comics that you see with their ego and shit, they ain't doing dick opposite fucking De Niro. You follow me? Not only do I do the acting, I do the fucking TV, the films. I try to do it all, Lee. We do the fucking videos. We do the podcasts. We try to write the blogs because I knew the more I do, the better I get at all this. This is the final fucking result. You know, you think I like sitting there at 2 in the morning with cups of coffee, smoking a fake cigarette and joints and writing? No, nobody fucking wants to do that. I just want to show up and make people laugh and get in my car. But that's not what works. After the ha-ha, I got to go home and I got to write the jokes down. I tried and worked and I had a tag to them and this one didn't work. I don't want to do that. For years, I didn't do that. But now that I have you guys, I have to do that because you're coming. So this is, you have to prepare yourself. A man without a plan is not a fucking man.
Oh, shit.
Nietzsche. I'm dropping on these motherfuckers because that's how I roll on a fucking Wednesday, February 20th. I'm feeling it, Lee, you cocksucker.
Oh, shit. Somehow, no. Is that really Nietzsche or did he make that?
Who the fuck do you think you're dealing with? I'll drop Nietzsche on you. I'll drop Gotti. I'll drop the quotas of all fucking time. I'll drop the guy from Lebanon? The hot dog fucking dude. They used to sell hot dogs and drop them. You don't know what.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You know, when I was a kid, I had Ernie Shaker. He was 500 fucking pounds. This guy had the best fucking hot dogs owned by Suicide Bridge in North Bergen. Suicide Bridge is my friend Steve Mancini killed himself. He went to fucking Carvel, got a little cup sundae with like the Yankees, ate his little cup sundae and jumped off Suicide Bridge. He was listening to like fucking he was listening to AC/DC Back in Black when they talking about splitting the night and Satan and shit. He left a note about Satan and splitting the night. I need this shit in my life. But right over there they had a hot dog dude, his name was Ernie. But Ernie used to make fresh fucking lemonade. Tremendous. Fresh right there. So you get there and he had the cups. And he'd already squeezed the lemons.
Yeah.
So all he had to do was put sugar in, ice cubes, and club soda.
Oh.
Club soda.
Jesus Christ.
And he'd stare that motherfucker up. But if he got real busy, he'd have to cut lemons. So half of his fingers were missing. Like all his little fingers were missing. But the best thing about it that he had like plastic cups like this, right?
Yeah.
So all he would do is put the club soda in the lemon and then put a silver cup like a bartender.
Yeah.
And he'd fucking shake. But he was 500 fucking pounds. So everything would move, his titties, the whole fucking package. You know what I'm saying? I love it. So we'd go down there when we were kids, shaker, shake. And he'd go, fuck you cocksuckers, my name is Ernest.
Jesus. Some people have to be big. Like that Mexican hot dog place you took me to.
Oh, fuck.
I almost didn't trust him because he was skinny. And he has bacon.
Yeah, I can't stand skinny fucking chefs. Skinny little fucking anorexic motherfuckers. I don't want to hang out with that dude. If I see a chef, I want him to be like 300 pounds with a beard.
Yeah.
Food in his fucking beard. Dirty hands. That hot dog's good over there, though, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, my dad got here. We got here at midnight, so it was a little bit too late, but I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll take him.
Friday and Saturday?
On Saturday,
no,
yeah.
No, they're there till 2:30 in the morning.
Well, he's tired. It's midnight.
Who gives a fuck? You take him over, you pop that fucking hot dog in his neck. He might move up here. I'm surprised he didn't stay on the couch.
Oh, no. You know, he probably would have if he could have, but yeah, fuck. That's
That's how MMA has really helped me, because I've contrasted my career to that.
Yeah.
And I figure these are the things I have to work on. That's why, listen, I don't want to hire this fucking coach for $20 an hour.
Jesus.
But how many times do you have an opportunity to go up against these people and act in that realm?
Yeah.
You know, when I acted with Adam Sandler and all those guys in The Longest Yard, none of them were real theatrical actors, so, you know, comics look okay. You know, when you're in this league like this with this guy, especially this fucking guy, I want to do good. Plus, his next movie's about stand-ups.
Really?
Yeah, De Niro's next movie is about stand-up, so I want to do good, man. I want to do good for me. I want to do good for you. I want to do good for the podcast. I want to do good so these motherfuckers are proud of me. So I can say, that's fucking Mad Flavor, my Uncle fucking Joe. What are you going to sit there and play some music for? What do you got for me?
Let's see. You got
that Motley Crue for Uncle Joe?
I do.
Pop that motherfucker right now. It's Wednesday, people. Get out there. Oh, shit. You want to smoke some more dope? What are you?
I'm all set.
What, how the fuck are you all set?
I gotta go to work in an hour.
Where? Where are you gonna go work?
Huh?
It's Wednesday. Where are you going?
I'm going to work.
You're gonna be there at 7.
Yeah. So I have to leave at 6. It's 4 o'clock
so
now.
If you smoke some dope right now, you'll be ready.
Yeah. You'll be in bail when I got arrested.
How's the weight? You go to the gym yet? You haven't been all week?
No,
but then you start your juicer, cocksucker.
Yeah.
So you can't eat solid food.
No, I mean, you can. It's for people who haven't seen it, it's called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead on Netflix. And there's 8 million documentaries and 8 million diets. Right. So I'm not saying this is the best one, but it made sense to me. And the reason they have you juice is you wouldn't be able to eat that many vegetables and the nutrients gets into you quicker. So I'm going to try it. And
well, vegetables, what's your first invention?
Most people do the mean green thing. So I have kale, cucumber, celery, carrots, ginger, and
that's the whole package is the ginger.
Yeah, and I have some broccoli. Oh, I'm gonna do it for as long as I can. And
how many ounces of that you gotta drink?
They didn't say. Like I'm just drinking. You're drinking it all day.
No more cheeseburgers either.
Fuck, dude.
That's it. No more fast food. Fast food's what's killing you. Like, you and I both know.
Yeah.
Not the fast food. You'd be a soldier.
That's why I'm trying it. But I fucking.
And then when are you going to start running up and down stairs? I want to see you. You're 24, dog. You're 24.
Yeah.
You can run from here to fucking Chicago and back. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it, but fucking...
You're a bad motherfucker. I need you alive, Lee. You're my dog.
Yeah.
I need you fucking alive. I need you... You can be a little on the chubby side, but you got to be in shape, throw a few punches, duck and weave, jump over, you know.
No, I'm gonna try it. It's about time. But the thing is, the people who do it, they after they go on the juice fast, they
What's
go.
What's going on
it.
With Rose?
Huh? She's at home.
If you drink that juice, you get all nice and slim. Your dick's in a grill 4 or 5 inches. Wait till Rose sees you. She sucks on that shit. Fucking horn. It's all over. The shouting, please. Look at you and shit, you sexy motherfucker.
I'm trying.
Then you're going to shave the hair and you're going to be bald with a beard.
I'm not going to be bald.
You're like Sinbad the fucking sailor. We'll put an earring on you. You go see your little Israeli buddies at the techno thing. when are they coming to L.A.? I'm going to go with you, but you got to do ecstasy if I go with you. You got to do 3 hits.
They don't have any L.A. dates right now. The closest they are is San Francisco. Oh, no, but they're going to be at Coachella, too.
When is Coachella?
April?
I don't you want to go there and do some acid and some ecstasy, you and your Uncle Joey?
I don't want to go. We couldn't even go if we wanted to, but...
Why?
It sells out in like 2 sections.
Listen, I know motherfuckers that know.
Oh, shit.
All right? Don't make me pull fucking rank here. You want to go to Coachella? We'll go to Coachella.
All right, let's go.
Ralphie, remember, you got to do ecstasy and heroin and everything. If we go, I don't want to hit you.
And heroin?
A little bit. Just a little white powder. Just to get your powder started, get your dick hard. Forget about it. When was the last time you did a nice little white line of heroin?
Never.
So this is your chance. You go see a fucking show. You can see the little Israeli. They wear yarmulkes on stage.
No.
All right.
Do they wear yarmulkes on stage?
Kind of fucking Jews, Lee. You got to be a proud fucking Jew, Lee, if you're going to be proud. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
And that's it. All right, so this week you're going to start juicing. Now, can you still do the Onnit products and juice?
Yeah.
Okay, can you use the protein shake? Can you figure out
a way to use That's the one thing. I mean, they didn't say you couldn't, but I don't know how much protein's in plant in the vegetables, so I am going to try to do a protein shake.
It's 16 grams for a shake, but I was talking to Einstein today, the guy that called on the show. He loves it, too. He loves the Onnit shake.
Yeah.
That fucking protein powder is delicious. It really is. That chocolate, if you do it just right, it's chocolatey. It don't taste like that powder you get from protein powder. It's chocolatey.
Yeah.
You know, man, it's yummy for your fucking tummy. And don't stop there. You know what? My feet don't hurt. I'm going to go kickboxing again tonight. So I lifted Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I went to kickboxing on my 50th birthday. Did the whole hour and a half. Sparred the whole fucking thing. Got kicked in the fat. Some guy kicked me right in the side of the fat here. You don't know what pain is till somebody kicks you in the fat. And the toes like snapped my fat. And they kept jiggling and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's fucked up. You laugh, cocksucker.
I would think it wouldn't hurt.
No, it fucking hurts. It's like sometimes when they kick you in the leg,
yeah,
the kick don't hurt, but the sting hurts afterward. You're like, God fucking damn. The first week I went, I kicked a dude in the leg without shin splints, and we both hit shins.
Oh.
God damn, that motherfucker hurt for a week.
Oh, yeah.
It's like going roller skating or something, hitting some fucking dude. Leland, you ready for eating an edible?
No, fuck, I got I'm one done. In my I'm bag. Done.
That's it.
Edibles are done.
So, what are we going to do, people? Because I don't ask you motherfuckers for dick. If you're going to start getting healthy, it's February. If you're going to start putting it off till March, that's fine. Sometimes you have to fail before you fucking make the stretch. Try it. Just try the Onnit shit. Try it. Go on my fucking JoeyCocoDiaz.net has the answer to all your fucking problems right now, okay? We got the new webpage up for you. We got the commemorative t-shirt. It's long sleeve, 100% cotton. They're 22 fucking bucks. Long sleeve with a flying juice sticker. And the church of what's happening, so you're supporting the podcast. We got short sleeve ones. We got hooded sweatshirts. You got to hit the fucking merchandise thing. They got white hoods with the zipper and the hoodie with a fucking picture. And again, the flying juice sleeve out of respect.
Oh, shit. Because
I love you, cocksucker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And we also have the Amazon link on the Joey Coco Diaz. No, it's joeydiaz.net. We also have the Amazon link. You're going to go to Amazon. You're going to buy some catnip. You're going to buy an arm. You're going to buy some sneakers. Boom! Press into the Amazon link. This money helps out fucking Lee, his juicer, and like that, you know, everybody's happy. All right? Thank you for buying the fucking cherries last week. A bunch of you got laid because of fucking Uncle Joey. And if you didn't get laid, at least you got cherries after you get high. You're sitting there some nights, you're smoking dope. You're like, I got nothing to eat. I got fucking peanut butter. Ooh, I ordered strawberries. I got 6 of them because Uncle Joey fucking sent me. And that's how we roll. You follow me? Like I said, go to Onnit. Start this health program. Even me, I'm a fat fuck, but I try to get healthy. I'm trying. I'm working on the cardio. I went to the doctor. I'm going to try to get these allergies down. It's over, Lee, you cocksucker.
Oh, shit. And use promo code CHURCH when you're at Onnit.
At Onnit. That's very important. CHURCH. We have any codes for fucking whatever, the Amazon link?
All you have to do is click.
Just click. That's it. It's a fucking click. You like a t-shirt, you don't, you want to leave me an email, something going on in your life, leave me a fucking email. 100-something fucking emails last
week. No way, shit.
And people bitching at me, you didn't look at my video. Listen, when you send me a video, I stack them. And when I get high at night, I look at your video. And I remember, bro, if you send me something, I'll look at it. If you take time to send. Listen, my biggest thing in life is if you speak, you have to listen. If I send you a video, that means when you send me a fucking video, I gotta watch it. So it just goes both ways. You follow me? And that's it. That's all we got for you.
Yeah.
Tickets are going fast for that New Orleans date. March 8th, 10 o'clock show. March 10th, 8 o'clock show. If those 160 seats sell out, then we'll add a third show, which will be Sunday night at 10 o'clock. That's how I roll, bitches. Next Wednesday night, Testicle Testaments at the Ice House. Tremendous about all the shit we've been talking about. And that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm at the fucking Bray Improv with my man Steve Simone. The Flying Jews are going to come down on Saturday and be shaking hands and giving out autographs and sniffing chicks' assholes.
No, I won't.
Maybe the chick will show up down there. She showed up at the Ha Ha the other night. She gave me a number. You know what? I'm going to have her call into the show.
No.
Yeah, my friend gave me the idea. He goes, have a call into the show. So I'm going to have a call in talking about farting in your ass. And she, I don't forget about nothing, Lee. I love you too much. I want you to overcome this fear of this black asshole.
It's not a fear, but you just talk about like sour cream from Taco Bell, and that's not even good sour cream, and you want it to...
Well, I want to have her eat some good stuff, Lee, all right? You think I'm going to have her eat like shitty food to fart in your face? I would never do that to you. I love you too much. I love you too much,
Lee. Let's go back into the podcast archives, and we'll listen to you. One of them be Taco Bell and KFC. And
come on, I'm only fucking with you. You know I love you better than that. I'm going to have her eat organic food, so it's an organic fart.
All right.
When was the last time somebody organically farted in your fucking face? They don't, Lee. You follow me? But Uncle Joey's going to set that up because that's how I roll. Another round out of applause to my girl, hashtag.com shows. That's Jill Himutsu, you sexy motherfucker. My girl, MB Leaf, looking fine in a motherfucker. She's recovering from the flu. Rose. So if you go, you know, if you start juicing, your dick's gonna get fucking super hard. Rose can't handle that shit.
I guess not. I don't know. I didn't think about it.
I love you guys. Thank you very much for supporting us and for hanging around and listening to this stupid conversation twice a week and shit, and me torching this flying joy. I love what you guys are doing. Thank you for supporting me and all the venues and everything you guys do. I wouldn't fucking be doing dick without you motherfuckers in my corner. You guys are my Ed Suarez, all right? Where's that Motley Crue? You just turned it off.
No, it's right here.
You sure?
You ready for it?
All right, what do you got? You got any announcements? You want to tell these people anything?
Just look for the... I'm going to do YouTube videos about the juicing. So, just follow me, Lee Syatt, S-Y-A-T-T.
All right, stay black. And I'm going to start doing Mad Flavor videos again.
Oh, shit.
I'm trying to put together a show where, like, we go to, like, events.
Yeah.
And we have food. And I'll bring a bowl in my jacket and put caramel corn with THC in it and spike motherfuckers. And then bring a camera and see how they're acting an hour later. Pretzels and fucking shit like that. So I'm going to keep you guys posted. It's a great idea. I can't sell it to network, but we could sell it to YouTube. You follow me? That's how I roll. Have a great week. I'll be back here Monday. We might do one Sunday this week. We haven't done one.
Okay.
Because the next week I only do one because I got to leave on Wednesday morning to New Orleans. So I love you guys. I'll see you Monday. Have a great weekend. Be fucking safe. The UFC, Ronda Rousey, great card this weekend. I'll be on MMA Junkie Friday. Stay black. Have a great week.